Hello, Saints from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is Micah from the Two LDS Archives. And today we have What We Are Learning and Will Never Forget. Talk by President Russell M. Nelson. In the last conference, there's my voice modulator. And as always, these papers can be found for free, ad-free, on my family's website. The link is always provided in the description box of the video. Once again, this is how Ashley and I will go about studying and thinking about and trying to digest what's been talked about in the conference, right? So, you know, good, better, best as far as what Elder Oaks said. We need to choose the best things for our time. So, we picked a series of talks from the conference that we thought were the best for us to go through. Now, that doesn't mean that other people won't have other talks. You know, that's not what we're saying. These are just the best ones for us to go through. And we're going to start going through those like we did the last conference. And this is how we do it. And so we're making that public. I make my words in blue. And if I'm taking something from a conference, like the talk here, those will be in black. So that would be the contrast here. If I've taken something from an LDS student manual, I'll put that in purple. That's something that we just started doing when we started posting our videos and papers online for other people, so that it's easier for them to differentiate between the two. You know, obviously, when we're doing this ourselves, it didn't really matter. The colors and such didn't really all that matter all that much. So that's what, if you're looking at, that's what that is. If you go to the family website and download it, it's provided in PDF and Word, and also we're throwing it up now in an audio file. So if you don't like it on YouTube, the audio is too low or too loud, we're going to be start funneling it over there. We're in the process of trying to move at this point in time, so we're a little busier. And so we've been slower putting up our these things, but we're slowly going through it as you know, time will permit. And so this is just an example of how somebody might go through studying and breaking down a talk at conference. This is not how everyone should do this. I'm not saying that. It's just, this is a way that we can do this. And this was a really important talk. And so here we go. So we start with the name of the talk, which we had. And then they're now throwing these little synopsises at the front of the talk. And President Nelson for this one said, "If you look at your life prayerfully, I believe you will see many ways in which the Lord has been guiding you through this time of hardship." Now, my commentary, this is blue. I thought about this sentence for a while, as I do with these intros to their papers, because I really wonder, like, why do they stick this here? Why of all the things in their talk, or why do they choose to put this at the top? And once again, I'm doing it here. I'm trying to figure out why President Nelson would choose to put this as the synopsis for his talk at the beginning. It didn't seem to fit. It frankly didn't seem to fit. And taken out of context, this sentence is not even a true sentence, right? You need the other information around it before it's a completely true sentence. There are some quantifiers that we need there, right? So there are many in the world who are not led by the Lord, right? They are, in fact, led by Satan. And there are many who have chose to let go of the iron rod at this time and curse God and die. Those who have been guided by the Lord at this time have been the elect, those who are letting God prevail in their lives. Well, then it hit me. Maybe that's exactly why President Nelson put this as the synopsis, to let the elect know that this talk, the yous, so when he's talking and he says you, they're directed entirely at them, the elect. This is not a talk for the world. This is a talk for those who have let the Lord guide them through this hardship. This is a talk for you. Based off the footnotes and what was gone over in this talk, I am left to conclude that this is an accurate assessment. With that being said, it would make sense that those who would get the most out of the talk would be those that President Nelson knew would be going through his footnotes. Those who understood macro last day timelines, etc. President Nelson, in this talk, is talking to you. He starts, "My dear brethren, I have looked forward to this virtual meeting with you. The last time we held the preset session of General Conference was in April 2019. Much has happened in the past 2 years. My commentary, a lot has happened in the last 2 years. And continuing with the theme of the talk, President Nelson is talking to the specific group who understand the macro last day timeline. And through the talk, he will be confirming the macro last day timeline. He will be confirming what has happened in the last 2 years. And make some statements regarding the future. Back to the talk. Some of you have lost loved ones. Others have lost jobs, livelihood, or health. Still others have lost a sense of peace or hope for the future. My heart goes out to each one of you who has suffered these or other losses. I pray constantly that the Lord will comfort you as you continue to let God prevail in your life. I know that he is just as optimistic about your future as he has ever been. My commentary, once again, we have confirmation that President Nelson is talking directly to those who are currently letting God prevail in their lives. This last sentence showcases two things. One, how to use assumptive language properly, and two, the prepared need not fear. President Nelson here took a page directly out of my teaching for edification paper. Namely, as you blank, I know that blank. Those who have taken the time to go over my teaching for edification paper or have listened to the role plays I've done with the missionaries that you can find on YouTube, I know this, know this is a master teacher technique. The second thing is that when you are letting God prevail in your life, the Savior is optimistic about your future. And with the Savior optimistic about your future, what need ye of fear? However, the opposite is true. If you are not letting God prevail in your life, the Lord is not optimistic about your future. And that should and does give the unrighteous cause to fear. Amid the losses, continuing with President Nelson's talk, we have experienced, there are also some things we have found. Some have found deeper faith in our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Many have found a fresh perspective on life and even an eternal perspective. You may have found stronger relationships with your loved ones and with the Lord. I hope you have found an increased ability to hear Him and receive personal revelation. Difficult trials often provide opportunities to grow that would not have come in any other way. My commentary, President Nelson here is describing all the reasons for what we just went through, discussed in Isaiah chapter 28. This desolating sickness was designed to wake up the drunkards of Ephraim. If you haven't already, I would recommend watching our April 25th, 2021 fireside where guests shared their wake-up stories tied directly to this. Back to the talk. Think back on the past 2 years. How have you grown? What have you learned? You might initially wish you could go back to 2019 and stay there, but if you look at your life prayerfully, I believe you will see many ways in which the Lord has been guiding you through this time of hardship, helping you to become a more devoted, more converted man, a true man of God. My commentary, in conjunction with the last paragraph, President Nelson now directs this directly at the men of God who have woken up. Quote, take the boys here, the sons of our brethren and sisters, and you may cut them into inch pieces, and they will not forsake this cause, but they will defend it to the last. Some of them may be rough, and perhaps some of them do not pray much, but send them into the vineyard, and then you will see them shew forth their power that is in them. At present, the prophet Joseph's boys lay apparently in a state of slumber. Everything seems to be perfectly calm with them. But by and by, God will wake them up, and they will roar like the thunders of Mount Sinai. End quote from Heber C. Kimball. If you're not familiar with this, I would recommend reading or watching my Joseph's Boys papers. Continuing with the talk, I know the Lord has great and marvelous plans for us, individually and collectively, with compassion and patience, he says. Ye are little children, and ye have not as yet understood how great blessings the Father hath prepared for you. And ye cannot bear all things now. Nevertheless, be of good cheer, for I will lead you along. My dear brothers, I testify that he has been and is, indeed, leading us along as we seek to hear him. He wants us to grow and to learn, even though, perhaps especially, through adversity. Adversity is a great teacher. My commentary, there is a lot to unpack here. President Nelson first identifies the great and marvelous work as yet future from us. He then quotes Doctrine and Covenants 78 and then testifies that the Lord is in the process of doing what those verses go over. And then says that the way the Lord is going to get us ready is through adversity. So what is Doctrine and Covenants 78 talking about? It is primarily talking about the law of consecration. Quote, for if ye are not equal in earthly things, ye cannot be equal in obtaining heavenly things, end quote. That's in Doctrine and Covenants 78:6. The law of consecration is part of celestial law, which is required to build up Zion, the New Jerusalem, in Jackson County, Missouri. That city, or tower, as it is referred to in the parable of the nobleman and the olive trees, would have enabled us to stand independent above all creatures beneath the celestial world. Doctrine and Covenants 78:14. But we lost Zion, the New Jerusalem, because we failed to do this. Quote Doctrine and Covenants 105. Verily I say unto you, who have assembled yourselves together, that you may learn my will concerning the redemption of mine afflicted people. Behold, I say unto you, were it not for the transgressions of my people, speaking concerning the church and not individuals, they might have been redeemed even now. But behold, they have not learned to be obedient to the things which I have acquired at their hands, but are full of all manner of evil, and do not impart of their substance, as becometh saints to the poor and afflicted among them, and are not united according to the union required by the law of the celestial kingdom. And Zion cannot be built up unless it is by the principles of the law of the celestial kingdom. Otherwise, I cannot receive her unto myself. End quote from Doctrine and Covenants 105. And then the Lord, he then lets us know that because we failed to do this on our own, we would have to learn obedience the hard way. Continuing in Doctrine and Covenants 105, and my people must needs be chastened until they learn obedience, if it must needs be by the things which they suffer. Doctrine and Covenants 101, we read, quote, therefore, let your hearts be comforted concerning Zion, for all flesh is in mine hands. Be still and know that I am God. Zion shall not be moved out of her place, notwithstanding her children are scattered. They that remain and are pure in heart shall return and come to their inheritances, they and their children with songs of everlasting joy to build up the waste places of Zion. And all these things that the prophets might be fulfilled. And behold, there is none other place appointed than that which I have appointed. Neither shall there be any other place appointed than that which I have appointed for the work of the gathering of my saints, end quote. In the Doctrine and Covenants student manual for chapter 101, we read under the section, Zion and her stakes will be established, quote, despite the saints' expulsion from Jackson County, Missouri, the Lord reaffirmed that Zion shall not be moved out of her place, notwithstanding her children are scattered. Although the stakes of Zion have spread over the face of the earth, the center place, Jackson County, continues to be designated by the Lord as the location for the city of New Jerusalem. Elder Bruce R. McConkie of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles taught, quote, there is no occasion for uncertainty or anxiety about the building up of Zion, meaning the New Jerusalem in the last days. The Lord once offered his people the chance to build that Zion from which the law shall go forth to all the world. They failed. Why? Because they were unprepared and unworthy, as is yet the case with those of us who now comprise the kingdom. When we, as a people, are prepared and worthy, the Lord will again command us, and the work will go forward on schedule before the second coming and at the direction of the president of the church. Until then, none of us need to take any personal steps towards gathering to Missouri or preparing for a landed inheritance there. Let us rather learn the great concepts involved and make ourselves worthy for any work the Lord may lay upon us in our day and time. Some things must yet precede the building up of Jackson County, end quote. In the LDS student manual for 2 Nephi chapter 27, we read under the section A, marvelous work and a wonder, quote, the marvelous work and a wonder spoken of by the Lord in 2 Nephi 27:26 includes the Book of Mormon, the restoration of the priesthood and the church, and the presence of Latter-day prophets on the earth. But it is even more than these things. It is the restoration of all things, including the establishment of Zion on the earth again, end quote. Can we not clearly see what President Nelson just told us in plain language? He has told us that the Lord is preparing us right now for this marvelous work and a wonder, even Zion, even New Jerusalem, and in it will be found the law of consecration. Well, they've even said a wonderful thing. Over here. The Lord has a great and marvelous plan. Yeah, that means plan future, and it's great and marvelous work in the future. Okay, got it? Back to his talk. What have you learned in the past 2 years that you always want to remember? Your answers will be unique to you, but may I suggest 4 lessons I hope we have learned and will never forget. My commentary. President Nelson then goes into 4 lessons that he hopes we have learned. Based on what we just went over, what do you think the lessons President Nelson hoped we would learn have to deal with? Making us worthy and ready to redeem Zion and build New Jerusalem. Now, with that in mind, those who wish to be Joseph's boys should pay close attention to these 4 lessons. I'll start with lesson 1. The home is the center of faith and worship. Often when the Lord warns us about the perils of the last days, he counsels thus, stand ye in holy places and be not moved. Then he puts a footnote here. My commentary, there are bombshells in this series of references that President Nelson has provided at this point. I will not be going over this whole series because I have already done so in a separate video paper entitled, Where Are We?, which was over an hour long. And I did it so I wouldn't have to go over it again in here. But the one to pay close attention to is his reference to Doctrine and Covenants 45. Now, he could have, at this time, in his footnotes, included only verse 32 specifically. But instead, he chose to specifically choose to start with verse 31. And then he also included verse 33. And there shall be men standing in that generation that shall not pass until they shall see an overflowing scourge, for a desolating sickness shall cover the land. But my disciples shall stand in holy places and shall not be moved, but among the wicked men shall lift up their voices and curse God and die. And there shall be earthquakes also in diverse places and many desolations. Yet men will harden their hearts against me, and they will take up the sword one against another, and they will kill one another. End quote. Prophet of God going out of his way to include verse 31 with reference to what is going on today is beyond coincidence. When asked about President Nelson's use of references, oh my gosh, Ashley forgot to include this. I told Ashley she was going to forget this. Elder Blank said, oh my gosh. Hey babe, come here. Now I got to do this in the video, guys, so here we go. When asked about President Nelson's use of references, Elder Blank said blank. Sorry. Told you that would happen. Told you that would happen. So we're going to have to find that reference and put you in there. So what the reference is there was a an apostle that said that President Nelson's uses references in his talks the same way he works his profession, and that is surgical, right? And so I thought that was a good quote to put in there, and Ashley said, I'll get it later, and then just wrote that in there. So we'll give you that reference. So it was an apostle said President Nelson's use of references when he writes talks, and when we're looking at these references, is surgical, okay? There's nothing coincidental. Which once again should be confirmation that at the very least President Nelson believes COVID is the desolating sickness. There were many people who were confused, possibly even disappointed, when President Nelson in the last conference said this, quote, as you study your scriptures during the next 6 months, I encourage you to make a list of all that the Lord has promised he will do for covenant Israel. I think you will be astounded. Ponder these promises. Talk about them with your family and friends. Then live and watch for these promises to be fulfilled in your life. End quote. And in this conference, President Nelson didn't explicitly bring this up again. I believe he actually did, though. In the LDS Student Manual for Doctrine and Covenants, Chapter 45, it says, Doctrine and Covenants 45, stand in holy places. President Harold B. Lee stated, quote, as one studies the Lord's commandments and attending promises upon compliance therewith, one gets some definite ideas as to how we might stand in holy places as the Lord commands. If we will be preserved with such protection as accords with his holy purposes in order that we might be numbered among the pure in heart who constitute Zion, as I have read from the Lord's own words. End quote. Israel is anybody who lets God prevail. And thus prevails with God, one who builds upon the rock. We let God prevail in our lives when we do what the Lord tells us to do. These are the commandments of the Lord. When the Lord gives a commandment, he also gives a promise. This is why commandments are also referred to as covenants with a promise, i.e., when you do blank, I promise you blank. With this true definition and understanding, the promises made to the house of Israel, they become synonymous with promises made for those who keep the commandments, i.e., promises made to those who let God prevail. This quote by President Lee states that those that study the commandments and their attended promises, i.e., the blessings, will have a good idea of places of safety, meaning standing in holy places. President Nelson here goes over four things he hopes we have learned, and the first thing he mentions is places of safety, or holy places. Ergo, he did address his commitment from the previous conference. Continuing in the talk, these holy places certainly include the Lord's temples and meeting houses, but as our ability to gather in these places has been restricted in varying degrees, we have learned that one of the holiest of places on earth is the home. Yes, even your home. My commentary, this not only gives us a functioning definition of holy places, but also gives us a functioning definition of those at this same time who are cursing God and dying. This is not referring to physical death. This is referring to spiritual death. There are those during this pandemic who woke up, purified their lives, and made their homes as sacred as possible, as President Nelson said here, that it's one of the holiest places on earth. And they did this as they strived for Zion. These individuals stood in holy places. There were others who gave in, however, to itching ears. They wandered online. They filled their hearts and souls with poison. There were those who didn't take this time to increase their family's spiritual awakening, purity, sanctification, etc. These individuals have been cursing God and dying spiritually. Continuing with the talk, brethren, you bear the priesthood of God. The rights of the priesthood are inseparably connected with the powers of heaven. You and your family have received priesthood ordinances. It is in the ordinances of the priesthood that the power of God is manifest. My commentary, I had a discussion with a gentleman on Discord about this very thing. Without the sacrament, we slowly lose the right to the guidance of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost being what purifies us, being What enables us to hear him, etc. I go over this process recently in President Eyring's talk entitled Tested, Proved, and Polished. The sacrament prayer states, quote, that they may always have his spirit to be with them, end quote. And these two verses from footnote number 4 that President Nelson provides, in conjunction, so we take that in conjunction together, they teach us the principle plainly. Dr. Gums 84, we read, therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. And without the ordinances thereof, so without the sacrament and the authority of the priesthood, that's keys, the power of godliness is not manifest by the men in the flesh, end quote. With that understanding, President Nelson's next line that he provides in this talk becomes very important. That power is available to you and your family in your own home as you keep the covenants you have made. Once again, let's go back to the sacrament prayer. This time, let's attach the first half of what I just did with that sentence to the second half. Quote, and keep his commandments, which he hath given them, that they may always have his spirit to be with them, end quote. That power is available to you regardless of whether or not you have a priesthood holder in the home. It is a right that you have if you don't have somebody. You can provide the sacrament in your home. So please ask the priesthood keys to send somebody to your home. The scriptures provided in footnote number 5 that President Nelson provided further emphasized President Nelson's A, belief of where we are at in the macro last day timeline, and B, what it means to stand in holy places, and C, explains why our temples were shut down to begin with. For further understanding of that last point, point C, I would recommend reading Understanding Isaiah chapter 1. But let's turn to John chapter 4 and let's read, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And in Alma chapter 32, we read, behold, thy brother hath said, what shall we do? For we are cast out of our synagogues, that we cannot worship our God. Behold, I say unto you, do ye suppose that ye cannot worship God, save it be in your synagogues only? And moreover, I would ask, do ye suppose that ye must not worship God only once in a week? I say unto you, it is well that ye are cast out of your synagogues, that ye may be humble, and that ye may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that ye should learn wisdom. For it is because that ye are cast out, that ye are despised of your brethren, because of your exceeding poverty, that ye are brought to a lowliness of heart, for ye are necessarily brought to be humble. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble, or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word, or even compelled to know, for they will believe. Back to the talk. Just 185 years ago, this very day, April 3rd, 1836, Elijah restored the keys of the priesthood that allow our families to be sealed together forever. That is why it felt so good to administer the sacrament in your home. How do you think it affected your family members to see you, their father, grandfather, husband, son, or brother, administer this holy ordinance? What will you do to retain that sacred feeling in your family? My commentary, this paragraph confirms that in our study, when we've been going through the study, breaking things down, we have been going down the very line of understanding that President Nelson wanted us to go down, as it confirms everything that we have just gone over, right, with the sacrament. President Nelson asks us how we plan on keeping that in our family, which is, keeping that in our family, the basic building block of the New Jerusalem. So he says, How can you keep this in your family? Well, the answer to that is the basic building block to the New Jerusalem. To me, this was a less clear, but still a direct call for members to finally wake up and understand the redemption of Zion and the building of New Jerusalem. Back to the talk, you may feel that there is still more you need to do to make your home truly a sanctuary of faith. If so, please do it. If you are married, counsel with your wife as your equal partner in this crucial work. And if you're wondering why he's talking like this, this was given at the priesthood session, so there was only men there when he gave this talk. There are few pursuits more important than this. Between now and the time the Lord comes again, we all need our homes to be places of serenity and security. My commentary, this obviously is referencing when the Lord comes again to the saints, because after the Lord is living in the New Jerusalem with us, this statement no longer makes sense. The Lord said that in that day, right, the day in which the Lord lives in the New Jerusalem, that we will grow up as calves in the stall. President Nelson is saying that between now and the anointing, we need our homes to be places of serenity and security. He then, in conjunction with this, references Alma chapter 50, quote, "And he caused towers to be erected that overlooked those works of pickets, and he caused places of security to be built upon those towers, that the stones and the arrows of the Lamanites could not hurt them." I would also include this, quote, "And it came to pass in the 17th year, in the latter end of the year, the proclamation of Laconius had gone forth throughout all the face of the land, and they had taken their horses and their chariots and their cattle and all their flock and their herd and their grain and all their substance, and did march forth by thousands and by tens of thousands until they had all gone forth to the places which had been appointed, that they should gather themselves together to defend themselves against their enemies. And they did fortify themselves against their enemies. And they did dwell in one land and in one body, and they did fear the words which had been spoken by Laconius, insomuch they did repent of all their sins and did put up their prayers unto the Lord their God, that he would deliver them in the time that their enemies should come down against them to battle. Therefore, there was no chance for the robbers to plunder and to obtain food, save it were to come up in open battle against the Nephites, and the Nephites being in one body and having so great a number and having reserved for themselves provisions and horses and cattle and flocks of every kind, that they might subsist for the space of 7 years, in the which time they did hope to destroy the robbers from off the face of the land. And thus the 18th year did pass away. And it came to pass that in the 19th year, Gideonhi found that it was expedient that he should go up to battle against the Nephites, for there was no way that they could subsist, save it were to plunder and rob and murder. And it came to pass that Gideonhi, who had stood and fought with boldness, was pursued as he fled, and being weary because of his much fighting, as he was overshaken and slain. And thus was the end of Gideonhi the robber. And it came to pass the armies of the Nephites did return again to the places of security. It came to pass that this 19th year did pass away, and the robbers did not come again to battle, neither did they come again in the 20th year. Now, thinking about that, I want you to think about those connections, as well as the reference in Isaiah to getting even to the neck, because that'll come back later in this talk. This is, once again, further proof of the time period that we are in right now. Attitudes and actions that invite the Spirit will increase the holiness of your home. Equally certain is the fact that holiness will vanish if there's anything in your behavior or environment that offends the Holy Spirit, for then the heavens withdraw themselves. President Nelson here does confirm that righteous people will create righteous places, but that unrighteous people will turn righteous places unrighteous, just like the temple. So once again, personal sanctification and worthiness makes the place. The places do not make one personally worthy and they do not sanctify you. President Nelson also started this off with the word attitude, which most will probably skim over. And others that don't skim over it will probably attribute this falsely to things like have a positive attitude. This is not what he is talking about. And it is crucial to understand because it is what we are to purge ourselves of to make us righteous. I.e., if we have not purged ourselves of this attitude, it is what makes us unrighteous and thus offends the Spirit and then turns the righteous places unrighteous. He is talking about attitudes that will change sins from sins of weakness to sins of rebellion. And then he references Doctrine and Covenants 121, verse 37, which is one giant warning against sins of rebellion. Now, many missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, when they teach James 1:5, which we do all the time because of its connection to Joseph Smith, they don't actually read the passage as it currently stands in the KJV to investigators because most people in the of today, they don't know what liberally or abradeth, etc. mean. They don't know what those words mean. And so instead of reading that, they will say, quote, if any of you have a question, pray and ask God. He will give you the answer freely and will not get mad at you for asking. With that in mind, I hear members read Doctrine and Covenants 121, 37 all the time, but they don't know what it means, or worse, they have a false understanding of what it actually means. It is a confusing set of scriptures due to the wording in the old, you know, what you could call Old English. It deserves to be broken down so that people can better understand it. So let's break down this verse in a way that hopefully makes more sense to us. Quote, the powers of heaven may be given to us, the form of priesthood, the Holy Ghost, etc. That is true. But when we lie about our sins and our weaknesses, when we justify or make excuses for our disobedience or divergence from the revealed will of God, i.e. the commandments, now be those commandments the words of ancient or modern prophets, when we justify or make excuses for our extravagant living, our priority of worldly pursuits over the kingdom of God, when we force people to do things against their will, yea, when we do any of the above, in any degree of unrighteousness, behold, the heavens withdraw, the Spirit of the Lord is grieved, and when it is withdrawn, amen, to the priesthood or authority of that man. End quote. Everyone makes mistakes. When you make a tiny mistake, the Holy Ghost isn't immediately grieved and flees from you. If this was the case, it would be an absolutely, utterly worthless gift. The moments that we would need the Holy Ghost the most, it would have already been long gone. Justifying your sins or rationalizing them, etc., is to raise the sin to the level of a sin of rebellion. And it is described here that any degree of that type of sin will immediately grieve the Spirit. You are not simply failing and succumbing to the weaknesses of flesh and mortality. You are pitting your will against that of the Father's, your desires against His. While looking up to heaven in your infantile intellectual state and proclaiming, I know better than you. These sins committed in any degree, meaning it can be as simple as drinking green tea, the Spirit is immediately grieved and leaves you. And why? Why would it leave you? Why would it be so grieved and why would it leave immediately? Because you are unteachable. You are attempting, in fact, to teach the Holy Ghost with your justification. and are no longer willing to be taught by the Holy Ghost. You have hardened your heart, and we learn of such in Doctrine and Covenants 45 that those are the ones that will eventually curse God and die. A sign to judge whether or not people are suffering from sins of weakness versus sins of rebellion is given in verses 41 to 42. A list of characteristics is provided for those not suffering with sins of rebellion. And then the key is given to judge. Okay, so what I mean by this, I mean that in verses 41 to 42, what we have is the Lord says, for example, if you work out and if you eat healthy and if you do this and this, okay, it will, which shall cause you to be healthy and happy. If the Lord said that, if you found somebody who was healthy and happy, by virtue of that, you could then know that that individual was doing all of the things that the Lord said to do before it. Hopefully that makes sense. Let's go into what the Lord says here in verse 42. Quote, which shall greatly enlarge thy soul. So if you do the things which were discussed before this, it will greatly enlarge your soul without hypocrisy and without guile. End quote. So finding a man or woman who is honest and without guile is an indicator that the individual does not suffer from sins of rebellion. These individuals will still make mistakes, will still fail, but they will confess and talk openly about their mistakes and do not seek to rationalize or justify them. This ties directly into having one's calling and election made sure, because, or becoming a son and daughter to Christ. Now, I would highly recommend watching or reading the fireside that we had with Marlene and Lindy, where we went over this very subject, as well as my paper on having your calling and election made sure. When somebody has their calling and election made sure in this life, it is made clear that they will still err. Meaning, perfection is not a requirement. The ridding of ourselves of all sins of rebellion, however, is the requirement. Hence, the apex of this entire document taught here, doctrine taught here. Quote, behold, there are many called, but few are chosen. And why are they not chosen? It is not because perfection is required to be chosen. It is because rebellion has to be eliminated. And their love for the things of the world and the honors of men prevent them from learning this lesson and ridding themselves of this problem. To exercise the powers of heaven is not to exercise perfection. It is to exercise a complete lack of rebellion. A complete lack of dishonesty, a complete lack of guile and hypocrisy. It is why, when John the Revelator saw those that had their calling and elections made sure, he said of such, quote, in their mouth was found no guile, end quote. It was important enough that that was an indicator. For example, we may look upon a man who comes out among his peers, stands on a soapbox, and then says that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of the Lord, has commanded him that he should no more impart speeches out of the crowd. I'm not going to stand on my soapbox anymore and preach to this crowd. And then you witness as the crowd gets whipped into a hysteria, crying forth, no, no, please speak more unto us. Deny that which the Holy Ghost gave you as utterance. Well then, if we witness that man in a day or two, come back out to his peers and stand on that soapbox and say, you've convinced me, I shall speak on. You can know with a surety that this man is a hypocrite. That man has no principles, is full of guile, and thus is suffering from sins of rebellion. These are the sins among all sins that are the most important for us to rid ourselves of in order that we may make ourselves chosen. For many are called. Many are called into many important callings. Stake presidents, mission presidents. Many are called. Few are chosen. And why are they not chosen? Because their hearts are set too much upon the things of the world, and they aspire to the honors of men. They care too much about what others think and not the Holy Ghost. And because of that, they refuse to learn. Going back to the talk, have you ever wondered why the Lord wants us to make our homes the center of gospel learning and gospel living? It is not just to prepare us for and help us through a pandemic. Present restrictions on gathering will eventually end. However, your commitment to make your home your primary sanctuary of faith should never end. As faith and holiness decrease in this fallen world, your need for holy places will increase. I urge you to continue to make your home a truly holy place and be not moved from that essential goal. My commentary: families are the essential building block for not only Zion, but of the celestial kingdom. For of such is the kingdom of God. I hope that many will search out the answers to these wonderful questions posed by the prophet, for a proper study on that subject will lead you to an understanding on, then a testimony of, and finally a desire for the redemption of Zion and the building of the New Jerusalem in Jackson County. Lesson 2. We need each other. God wants us to work together and help each other. That is why he sends us to earth and families and organizes us in wards and stakes. This is why he asks us to serve and minister to each other. That is why he asks us to live in the world, but not be of the world. We can accomplish so much more together than we can alone. God's plan of happiness would be frustrated if his children remained isolated one from another. My commentary: I might be reading too much into this, but President Nelson here used the word remained, implying that potentially President Nelson views the church in its current state as being scattered and the elect isolated one from another. President Nelson, in his Hear Him talk, said, quote, "We live in the day that our forefathers have awaited with anxious expectations. We have front row seats to witness live what the prophet Nephi saw only in vision, that the power of the Lamb of God would descend upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and they were armed with righteousness and with power of God in great glory. You, my brothers and sisters, are among those men, women, and children whom Nephi saw. Think of that," end quote. That was given in April 2020, General Conference. And now in this talk, President Nelson is saying that we cannot remain isolated and scattered. So we have a group of saints that are scattered across the earth, and Nephi sees them in that scattered condition. But then he also sees that the power of God descends upon them while in their scattered state. President Nelson said, "Hey, brothers and sisters, this is you today." And now, in this talk, he is saying that we need each other and we cannot remain isolated one from another. So how does the Lord protect his people and gather them together in one? This was the same question that Enoch had when he was shown the same thing. And the Lord answered Enoch, quote, "Great tribulation shall be among the children of men, but my people will I preserve, and righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men. And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth unto a place which I shall prepare, a holy, unholy city, that my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem, end quote. I would recommend reading or watching my papers, Joseph Smith's Return and Joseph's Voice. Back to the talk, the recent pandemic has been unique in that it has affected everyone in the world at essentially the same time. While some have suffered more than others, we have all been challenged in some way. Because of this, our common trial has the potential to help unite God's children as never before. So I ask, has this shared trial drawn you closer to your neighbors, to your brothers and sisters across the street and around the world? In this regard, the two great commandments can guide us. First, to love God, and second, to love our neighbor. We show our love by serving. If you know anyone who is alone, reach out. Even if you feel alone too, you do not need to have a reason or a message or business to transact. Just say hello and show your love. Technology can help you. Pandemic or not, each precious child of God needs to know that he or she is not alone. My commentary, the description provided of the destruction dealt by the Assyrian, as well as the warning to the saints provided by Isaiah, provides a concert of clarity surrounding the widows, the fatherless, the poor, and the downtrodden. They are always among us, but they have suffered greatly at this time period. A generous fast offering from those with means and a caring and thoughtful attention to detail should be taken for this group of downtrodden, fatherless, and widows right now, more than ever. Lesson 3, your priesthood quorum is meant for more than just a meeting. During the pandemic, Sunday quorum meetings were canceled for a time. Some quorums are now able to meet virtually. Nevertheless, the work of the Lord has given to priesthood quorum. The work that the Lord has given to priesthood quorums was never meant to be confined to a meeting. Meetings are only a small part of what a quorum is meant for and what it can do. My brethren of the Aaronic priesthood and elders quorums, expand your vision of why we have quorums. How does the Lord wish you would use your quorum to accomplish his work now? Seek revelation from the Lord. Humble yourself. Ask. Listen. If you have been called to lead council as a presidency and with quorum members, whatever your priesthood office or calling, let God prevail in your commitment as a member of your quorum and in your service. Experience with joy the righteousness you will bring to pass as you are anxiously engaged in a good cause. Quorums are in a unique position to accelerate the gathering of Israel on both sides of the veil. My commentary, there is something more that our priesthood quorums are meant for, and there is something specific that they can and will do. And you will find the answer to that in my paper, Joseph's Voice. I too, with the prophet, hope that as many of the priesthood as possible during this time period woke up and learned that their priesthood quorum was meant for so much more than just meeting each week. Lesson 4. We hear Jesus Christ better when we are still. We live in a time prophesied long ago, when all things shall be in commotion, and surely men's hearts shall fail them, for fear shall come upon all people, end quote. Let's take a moment here to thank God for President Nelson clearly identifying that we are still pre-seventh seal. The reference that President Nelson provided here was Doctrine and Covenants 88.9. 88.91. Quote, and all things shall be in commotion, and surely men's hearts shall fail them, for fear shall come upon people. President Nelson says, we're at this point. Next verse, and angels shall fly through the midst of heaven, crying with a loud voice, sounding the trumpet of God, saying, prepare ye, O heavens of the earth, for the judgments of our God has come. Behold, and lo, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And immediately there shall appear a great sign of heaven, and all people shall see it together. And another angel shall sound his trump, saying, the great church, the mother of abominations, have made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, that persecuted the saints of God to shed their blood. She who sitteth upon many waters and upon the islands of the sea, behold, she is the terrors of the earth. She is bound in bundles. Her bands are made strong. No man can loose them. Therefore, she is ready to be burned, and he shall sound his trump, both long and loud, and all nations shall hear it. And there shall be silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And immediately after that silence shall the curtain of heaven be unfolded as a scroll is unfolded, is rolled up, and the face of the Lord shall be unveiled. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was seven silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. President Nelson says that the time period we are in is in Doctrine and Covenants 88:91, and you should be able to figure the rest of that out. Okay, that was true, this is President Nelson, that was true before the pandemic, and it will be true after. My commentary, I almost feel like President Nelson smirked here, saying, quote, obviously we weren't in the seventh seal before the pandemic, and we won't be in the seventh seal after the pandemic, end quote. There are things that need to happen before we enter that time period, and President Nelson goes over next some of those very things. And earlier when I read that quote from Elder Bruce R. McConkie that was provided in the LDS Student Manual for Doctrine and Covenants 101, Elder Bruce R. McConkie said the same thing. There are some things that need to happen first. Back to the talk. Commotion in the world will continue to increase. In contrast, the voice of the Lord is not a voice of great tumultuous noise, but it is a still voice of perfect mildness, like a whisper, and it pierces even to the very soul. In order to hear this voice, you too must be still. My commentary, the references that President Nelson provides here are yet again more slam dunks against the seventh sealers, as the redemption of Zion and building of New Jerusalem are sixth seal events. I should say they're pre-seventh seal events. Doctrine and Covenants 101, the reference that he provides here, is this. You might remember this from above. Therefore, let your hearts be comforted concerning Zion, for all flesh is in my hands. Be still and know that I am God. Zion shall not be moved out of her place, notwithstanding her children are scattered. Once again, children are scattered, isolated. It's not going to remain that way forever. Now the prophet's saying, be still, and quoting this, be comforted. President Nelson earlier in his talk said that adversity is going to get us ready for the redemption and building of New Jerusalem. And now here he is saying to be still and to be patient. Or as Elder Bruce McConkie put it, there should be no anxiety over it. The reason why we can be calm and we can be still at this time period is because we can know that the tribulation is preparing us for the redemption of Zion and building of New Jerusalem. And we can have faith, meaning we should not be anxious about the redemption of Zion and the building of New Jerusalem. For the Lord God hath spoken it, and every word of the Lord shall be fulfilled. President Nelson's reference that he provides also for Psalms 46 is yet another reference for, quote, the Lord dwells in his city, end quote, i.e., the redemption of Zion and the building up of New Jerusalem. And it is, and in that shall be our peace and security. The footnote for Psalms 46:7 takes you, the one that he provided, takes you to Isaiah 8:8. Which refers to the Assyrians' influence getting even to the neck. Remember that from earlier in this talk. See my Understanding Isaiah series if you don't understand why that ties in, which should further confirm that this is, in fact, all talking about the same series of events and the same city, etc. Now, I'm not going to do it in this paper for the sake of time, but I would highly recommend giving Psalms or Psalm 46 a read over after digesting all of these thoughts. It's a great summary. Another psalm that I personally think is even better at doing that same thing is Psalms chapter 37. So go after this. Give both of those a good read. It is a perfect summary of what's being discussed here. If you can't recognize the themes in those two chapters and how they've been represented in the conferences in the last 2 years, you are dead asleep. President Nelson then wraps up his talk by giving us some commitments and bearing his own testimony. And as always, I don't like to comment on that or make my own commentary on it, because it is their commitments and their testimony. So I will end with the words of the speaker, and I will just make them my own. For a time, the pandemic has canceled activities that would normally fill our lives. Soon, we may be able to choose to fill that time again with the noise and commotion of the world, or we can use that time to hear the voice of the Lord whispering his guidance, comfort, and peace. Quiet time is sacred time, time that will facilitate personal revelation and instill peace. Discipline yourself to have time alone and with your loved ones. Open your heart to God in prayer. Take time to immerse yourself in the scriptures and worship in the temple. My dear brethren, there are many things the Lord wants us to learn from our experiences during this pandemic. I have listed only four. I invite you to make your own list. Consider it carefully and share it with those you love. The future is bright for God's covenant-keeping people. The Lord will increasingly call upon his servants who worthily hold the priesthood to bless, comfort, and strengthen mankind and to help prepare the world and its people for his second coming. It behooves each of us to measure up to the sacred ordination we have received. We can do this. I so testify with my expression of love for each of you, my beloved brethren, in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.